let's get ourselves ready for study of the Word. And we live, I'm sure those of you that are here tonight understand, we live in just an exciting time on God's clock. I'm one of those who firmly believe we're in the generation of the rapture. And so let's begin with a word of prayer, and then I have a few things I want to say before we start our study. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the privilege of having the Bible. There are many places throughout the world that are not even allowed to have the Bible. There are many places in the world where they are allowed to have a Bible, but they cannot get one in their own language. We can go to the local store and buy them for $1.50. And this Bible tells us so much, but it tells us your plan of history. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to things that are going on at the time of Ezekiel that are relevant and important for us today. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now let's begin by opening our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Now, we live in a time, and I'm sure all of you are aware of the fact that Trump administration is trying to put together the deal of the century. But this is just personal, my own personal take. I don't think it's any different from the attempts are different, but I mean, it's any different than the attempts of past presidents. They all know that this is the hot spot. Most of them do not even know why. But it's a hot spot, and they would love to go down in history as having formulated the peace. It isn't going to happen. Look at Genesis chapter 12. Let's just begin reading at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, the Ur of the Chaldees, and from your relatives, your father, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will, future tense, bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's by the coming of the Messiah. Now, I'm going to turn to Genesis 16. Now, we all know how Abraham listened to Sarah, went in and had sex with Hagar, her maid, servant, and she became pregnant. And it took off, and well, actually Sarah banned her, kicked her out, and she was distressed. And so the Lord came to her. In verse 11, the angel of the Lord said to her further. In verse 11, we're in Genesis 16, verse 11. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child. You will bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. Now here's the deal. He will be a wild ass of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all his brothers. Okay. What is happening in the Middle East, and I know all of you know these things, but let's just talk about them in the midst of the political environment we're in right now. they're not going to get along. The Muslims, Palestinians, whatever you want to call them, not going to get along with Israel. They have made irrevocable quotes that every evil on earth involves a Jew. That's their attitude. We've got to get rid of all Jews. That's their attitude. And they're not going to be farming a peace agreement. I don't care how much money you give them. Their hatred is more powerful than a desire for peace, than a desire for wealth, any of that. They hate the Jews. They always have. They always will. Until the Messiah comes. And that will be the Battle of Armageddon. And that will end it. But until then, we'll just keep trying and trying and trying. Can't fault anybody for trying. But it isn't going to work. You're not going to bring about peace in the Middle East. I'm sorry, Mr. Trump. You're not going to. If I were advising the president, I would say what you need to do is stock Israel with double its nuclear power, triple its air force, triple its artillery, have it all stand all around the borders, and just stay that way, 24/7. And go on about your business. And any country that wants to cause trouble, blow that section away. But that's not a very popular counsel and wouldn't get me very far. But I think what we need to do is, before we go on back into our study, let's just have a moment of prayer. Pray however you want. But I think we need to be in prayer for President Trump. We need to be in prayer, for the nation of Israel. We need to be in prayer for America. We're all three of those are in trouble. Trump, Israel, and America. We're all under siege by Satan. I think he knows time is getting short. Because Paul wrote Timothy and told him, it's going to get really bad near the end time. And it's getting bad. So I think Lucifer, Satan, knows. The devil, the serpent of old, knows. And this is what's going on throughout the world. Anti-Semitism is increasing in throughout Europe, Germany. I don't know how many of you take the time to look at watch.org, but he always down at the bottom puts about 20 headlines, and anti-Semitism is on the growth in various parts of Europe, the world, and it's going to get worse. It's growing in America. It's going to get worse. Nothing you and I can do about it. It's a supernatural hatred. There are people who don't even know why they hate Jews, but they hate them. There are people who just see the Jews as always causing trouble or in the midst of trouble. It's kind of like that old thing. You know, every time I see a fire in our neighborhood, I see firemen. There's some kind of relationship between firemen and fire. So I see trouble and I see Jews. So Jews must be the cause. And that's the way people are today. And it's increasing. It's increasing. So We need to understand these, yes.
Fifth year of the Holocaust.
Yes. Yeah,
and but I'm just saying, and then all this is going on between America and Israel, and you know, there's no coincidence with God, but it sure makes you stop and think.
Yeah. And it's going to
get worse. Paul tells us that in Timothy, other places. And main thing we need to do is take care of the 6 feet around us. That's what we're responsible for. We're responsible for our own individual lives. In our marriage, in our single life, in our work, in our church, in our social life. That's what we're responsible for. And part of our responsibility is in our prayer life. I want to remind you, the only reason we can pray is because, one, the power of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, prayers are empty. Two, because of our position in Christ. Because we are in Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have the privilege of calling Him Father and going to Him in prayer. Don't ever forget that. Because we're sinners, we pray in the power of the Spirit, because our position in Christ, and we can pray effectively to God the Father. So let's spend a moment in prayer, whatever you want to pray. I'd like to devote it to, though, President Trump, Israel, and America. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know from the divine decrees that you have a plan. You have a plan, Heavenly Father, for Israel. You've allowed America to come on the scene in history. You guided our forefathers to lay out a nation built on freedom, which is a biblical reading of politics, freedom. Father, we thank you that we have the privilege in this assembly to come together, open your word and study it, understand in our own lives, get some idea of what you're doing in the world, in America, in Israel, and in our own homes. Our own relationships with those in our lives. Father, we thank you for America. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy, Father. In your Son's precious name, amen. Okay, let's resume our study now. We left off in Ezekiel 28 last week. Ezekiel 28. And we left off with the studying in verse 16 is where we were when we had to close last week. I hate the clocks, but I understand them. I had one teacher in school, smartest teacher I had in my whole 12 years of school. It was a clock. He put up a sign by the clock. Time will pass, will you? And every time I'd look up there and see what time it was, I'd see that doggone sign. I went, oh no. Alright. So, what we're doing, we're looking at the fall. The reason we're studying Ezekiel, and we've now advanced to where we're looking at the fall of this super creature. The super creature. And it really begins, I know you all have your own lives and different things you've got to get done and all work and all. So let's just flow into where we are. Let's begin reading at verse 11, which is where this paragraph begins. earlier talked about the prince, the king, the leader of Tyre. But in verse 11, it changes. And again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, take up lamentation over the king of Tyre. So it's lamenting. And say to him, Thus says the Lord God. Now, I think I told you last week, that's powerful. I like to see, when I read the Bible, what I can learn about God. Here God is lamenting about his super creature. So we learn about God. And I'm reaching the point where I'm losing being kind to those who do not believe that God created free will. That God would create a being to do all of this, and then have him do all of this, and then lament. That's phony. Hypocritical. If he did not give this super creature free will. So, now let's see what the lament is. You have the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. He lists the stones. And the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed, cherub, who covers. I placed you there. Covers means to guard. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways. From the day you were created until, there it is. I'm still trying to get my wife, and if she won't sing until, I'm going to get Mike to sing until. But I'm going to get somebody to sing until, because it's a beautiful hymn. But until unrighteousness was found in you. So, people that say Genesis 1, 2, and following is it. No. There was a time frame where this great super creature, I'm going to call him Son of the Morning, he just operated, glorifying God. Until, at some point, and I'll guarantee it was longer than 2 minutes, like those that want to have Genesis 1, 2 following the beginning of everything. Okay, until unrighteousness was found in you, by the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence. Now, the few of us that were here last week, that's what we dealt with. And so the morning star is going to fall within himself. At some point, the morning star began to think within himself and started worshiping himself. Now, what about filled with violence? Where does that all of a sudden come from? Just all of a sudden, filled with violence is here. And what we're going to do to get an understanding of this is we're going to, it's like taking a telescope and just keep zeroing it in. I can't help but use the illustration because we see it all the time on ID. And where they have a series, Evil's Watching You, or The Eye of Evil, what is that? Anyway, it's where there's cameras. And I'll tell you what, Walmart gets more advertisement on ID than anybody. They must have the greatest camera system of any stores in America. Because, I mean, over and over and over, somebody was buying something at Walmart to do the murdering or the lime or the fertilizer or whatever it was. And they've got big cameras inside, outside. So if you're ever going to do anything wrong, don't do it at Walmart. Don't do it in the parking lot. Don't do it in the store. Get away from Walmart! See? Now, so this is what we're going to do. And what they do is, here's the big parking lot. There's the car. We need to get, say, zero and zoom, and then finally get that license plate. So let's zoom in and see what we got here. So, first of all, filled. That's an important word. It lets us know what's going on inside this super creature. There are two functions of this word filled in the Hebrew. One, temporal. Two, spatial. Temporal, spatial. Spatial. Space. The term pictures the act of making that which was empty, full. So, the first thing you want to see about filled, empty, now it's filled. His soul was empty of this, now it's filled. Secondly, temporal. Time. Related to time. So here we learn that this was probably a slow process in this creature. Something like, I don't know, but something like, you know, I can't have that kind of thought. I gotta push that aside. See? It's kind of like when we first, no big deal. You become a young man and you start thinking about girls, and I can't think about girls. That's not good. That's gonna get me in trouble. So you push it down. And then there walks by another one. And there it is again. You're doing a lot of pushing. See? So I imagine something like that probably what happened. He pushed it down. Slowly, little by little, he became more and more impressed with his own superiority and his anger toward God. Because God was getting all his praise and glory. So his anger starts building up. So, slowly, starts building up a resentment toward God, filled with his own superiority. And that will be accompanied by a resentment of God. Therefore, filled with violence. Where does that come from? The Hebrew word tells us even more about what's going on in his soul. The word means to do damage. Cruelty. Let's see if we can grasp what's going on. Name? Football player. Really good football player. But there's another football player that's also good. But you're better than them. So you, at first, okay, but you start resenting them. You start resenting them. Until you finally just lash out. See? And it's what happens in a lot of marriages. Okay? Your wife is beautiful, your husband's successful, something like that. And for a while it's okay, but pretty soon you start growing a little irritated. A little irritated at all that they're getting. And pretty soon the anger lashes out. See? All his money, her beauty, her success, whatever it is. See? And pretty soon murder evolves. The anger, the violence, reaches the point. We want to do that. For an example, look at Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, verse 1. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, how did they relate? I would have get dating. Well, got to realize dating much later than when it always happened. They didn't have the year back then. 563 BC. Now, this is the way they did dating. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Now this is in time, of course, but put the principle in terms of our study. This morning star sees all the time the loftiness of God. How he raises above everything and everyone. He's exalted. See? You want to see what's inside of the morning star? Look at Daniel 11. Daniel 11:36. Well, we have a description of the Antichrist. Now, the reason we can go there, the Antichrist is empowered and dwelt by Satan, the one that we're studying. So let's see what we got here. See, dealing with the Antichrist in the tribulation. Then, chapter 11 of Daniel, verse 36, then the king, in context, this is the Antichrist, will do as he pleases throughout all the earth. He'll go here, he'll go there, he'll go there, he'll go there. North, south, east, west, doesn't matter. He does as he pleases throughout all the earth. And he will exalt and magnify himself above every god. That's what the morning star tried to do in our study. Exalt and magnify himself over the only God. Now continuing, and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods. That's Yahweh. He's been doing that since Isaiah 14, since our study. And he will prosper, until, there's that word again, until the indignation is finished for that which is decreed, which we studied a couple Sunday mornings ago, will be done, will be accomplished. Now, the morning star, lust of this form, of this from the beginning and eternity past, and will all the way through history to the very end of the millennium. He will be locked up, I don't know how long, let's just say 800 years, the beginning of the millennium. He's let loose near the end. So let's just say 200 years left, which isn't very long, 24 months. Did he learn anything? No. He sat in prison. How can I get out and how can I get even with this God? That's all he thought about. I'm still going to overrule him. Not taking a look of where he is, but that's what's going to happen. Now, let's pause a moment. What about us? People, whenever you sense a resentment towards someone, at home, husband, wife, parent, children, work, church, social life, work life, anytime you start sensing resentment, nip it right then and there. Do not push it down. Do not hide it. Do not deceive yourself. This is where 1 John 1:9 is effective. This is when you confess it. You don't deceive yourself. You don't go into denial as they were in 1 John 1:8. Acknowledge. Pull it right out to the front and get rid of it. Attack it with the truth. Attack it with spiritual love. As we will see first thing, this super creature, the morning star, did was to stop loving the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And once he stopped loving him, he started loving himself and resenting Jesus Christ. Once you stop loving Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, you start resenting him. You start resenting his place. We all fought that as teenagers. Somewhere, I don't know what age it was for you, 14 to 18, somewhere in the 16, you resent your parent. What do you mean I got to be home 10 o'clock on school night? Where do they get off telling me that? I got to be home at midnight after a date. I resent them telling me that. See? So it starts building. It starts building. And if you don't nip it, It's going to cause you great trouble. It's going to cause you severe trouble. So you got to learn to nip these things. See? We will see this pattern right from the beginning of the morning star. First stop loving Christ. Then started seeing His own magnificence. And then started resenting Jesus. Stop loving. Start seeing His own magnificence. Start resenting Jesus. Start resenting Yahweh. And four, became full of Himself. This was accompanied with His being filled with violence against this Jesus. So people, please be aware of what's going on inside of you at all times. Do not be in denial. Do not just let it go. Be aware of what's happening in your thought process. Do not push it down in your soul. Acknowledge it. Deal with it. Deal with it, the filling of the Spirit, with the truth of the Word of God, in spiritual love. Don't deny it. Acknowledge it. God's big enough. People, He already knows we're harboring this sin, we're harboring that. Don't hide it. You're not going to hide it from God. He already knows it. Just get it out there. And bring it to Him in truth. Now, let's get back to our study. Ezekiel 28. Now, we are in verse 16. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled, slowly, fully, space, His soul, time, slowly being filled. See? Hostile, resentment of the pre-incarnate Christ. We noted the actions of the Antichrist in the tribulation, but I want you to grasp the cohesiveness of Scripture, and how the morning star was never gotten over this hatred, this violence toward Jesus Christ. So you'll understand His actions throughout all history, right up to this day, what's going on in the Middle East. It's a hatred of Jesus Christ. What's going on in America? It's a hatred of Jesus Christ. You teach Jesus Christ, you're teaching hate. See? What do you mean everybody's going to hell and don't believe in Christ? That's hate. That's hate. See? They hate Him. They resent Him. See? So, all of these things are happening. The emerging church, Roman Catholic Church, Calvinism, on and on and on. Attack after attack against Jesus Christ. So with this in mind, I want you to look at Daniel 8. Daniel 8. And we're going to start in verse 9. This is the study of the little horn. Now, who is this little horn? And we're not going to take the time like if we were studying the book, but just to include everything in. Let me tell you who the little horn is. This is Antiochus. Antiochus the fourth, Epiphanes, Epiphanes. His date of when this is going on, 175 to 163 B.C. So 12 years. Okay, the little horn. History of Antiochus the fourth, Epiphanes. Prophetically outlined in verses 9 through 14. In 167 B.C., he conquered Palestine, defiled the sanctuary, the Temple of Israel, and dedicated it to Zeus, Z-E-U-S, the god Zeus, Olympus. In 164 B.C., the temple was purified. This is the period of the 2,300 evenings and mornings that we'll see in verse 14. But let's just read our way to that. Verse 9. one of them came forth, a rather small horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the beautiful land. Beautiful land is a reference to the land of Israel, namely Judah. Out of one of them, now this is out of one of the four conspicuous horns of verse 8. We know who this is. This is out of Seleucus, S-E-L-U-C-U-S. Came forth a rather small horn. This is little horn. Now, be sure you do not confuse him with the little horn of Daniel 7, 8 and Daniel 7, 24, 26, who is the Antichrist at the end of the tribulation. This confusion is one of the causes a lot of misunderstanding. I'm sorry?
The second Daniel verse.
Do not confuse this with the little horn of Daniel 7, 8 and Daniel 7, 24, 26. 24 through 26. That little horn is the Antichrist of the tribulation. This confusion is one that causes a lot of misunderstanding in chapter 8. The little horn of Daniel 7, 8 comes up from the ten horns in the fourth beast, still future to us today. But the little horn of chapter 8 comes up from one of the four horns of the third beast who has already been here. That is, he comes up from one of the dynasties of Alexander the Great, Alexander's empire. While they are different, this little horn will act much like the little horn of the tribulation. This little horn again refers to Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. He took himself the name Epiphanes after gaining control. It means of all things God manifest. God manifest. Was a Greek king of the Seleucid Empire from 175 BC until his death in 164 BC. He was a son of King Antiochus III, Antiochus the Great. Now, although Antiochus Epiphanes foreshadows the final little horn, that is the one at the end of in the tribulation, both are similar in their idolatry and their desecration of the temple. Their idolatry, desecration of the temple. If you want to read about it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Revelation 13, 1 through 18. If we were studying Daniel, we'd go through all that. But are distinct as the context proves, and as the book of Revelation attests. Antiochus Epiphanes arose out of Syria, Syrian branch of the old Greek Empire, who was determined to stamp out the Jewish religion and all Jews. That has always been Satan's plan. I will rid the earth of Jews. He thought he was making very big headway in the Holocaust. They're celebrating the 75th year of it now. There's some great films out. But people, if you ever want to see just how bad the inherited sin nature can get, read about the Holocaust. Just read about it. Judith and I stayed up to midnight the other night watching one, and this lady told the story she, oh, I'll just jump to it. She was pregnant, made her way through all of the deals without getting killed before and all this stuff. I thought it's very tricky how she got by this major Nazi guard. She stood back and watched, and she saw how he was enamored with beautiful girls, so she got herself between. She had three or four beautiful girls here, three or four beautiful girls here. She stood here, and she just stayed hoping, he'll just look and see these girls, won't even see me. And it worked. It worked. She just slipped, and she was about seven months pregnant. But she just slipped by in the midst of all those beautiful women, because they were all naked. They were all had to be naked. And so he wasn't looking at her. He was looking at all these other chicks, and she just slipped by. Well, jump to the story. It finally came out she was pregnant and about to give birth, and gave birth and survived giving birth. He walks in the morning of the baby's born, and he said, tape up the mother's breast, and I don't want that tape removed. She cannot feed that baby. I want to see how long a baby can live without any food. He came in every morning and checked, see if the baby was dying and how long. And the long and short of it was, the baby died. That's how low the sin nature can go. And even lower. We all know even more atrocities than that. Or at least that great. Okay. Now, so, this is where we are in our study. Now, continuing our study in Daniel, he is the despicable person, and that is of 11:21, grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, toward the beautiful land. Hebrew word means desired land. Desired land. South, Egypt. East, Medo-Persia. Beautiful land, that is the land of Judah. Little horn is Antiochus the IV. He gained control after a murder of his brother. And Antiochus used bribery and flattery to gain control of the throne and was not the rightful heir. To promote himself, he took the name Epiphanes to promote himself. It means God manifest. Now what is interesting behind this, behind his back, they called him Epimenes, E-P-I-M-A-N-E-S, which means idiot. That's what they told him behind his back. He said, I'm Epiphanes of God, but they called him Epiphanes, and that means idiot. So, he had fooled his own people. Now, if we're thinking, we can see a hidden prophecy in this verse. For at the time Daniel wrote this vision, he wrote in 551 B.C., the Jews were in diaspora, in Babylon, throughout the Persian Empire. So, he is here saying, without realizing, the people realizing it, he's here saying they will return to their own land and then they will be invaded in that place in 168. So, when he made this prophecy, if you're thinking, wait a minute, you're saying we're going to go back to the land. Yeah. We're going to go back to the land. And then we will be invaded again. Daniel will be the time, beginning of the time of the Gentiles, and that'll go all the way through until Jesus Christ comes again. Now, remember one of the primary messages of Daniel 8 is the likeness between Antiochus the IV and the dictator of the revived Roman Empire at the tribulation. All of which imitate the morning star and his fall from heaven, that we're in the midst of studying. I just want you to see how consistent the whole of Scripture is and how Satan's been the same all the way through. See? So if this Antichrist is going to invade Israel to destroy Jerusalem, see, we know that Israel must be restored as a Jewish nation and occupy Jerusalem. Lo and behold, that's what they do today. They're in Jerusalem. They're in Judah. They occupy it. It's their land. Jerusalem is the capital. See? So that's what is established. So here's just another reason for studying the prophecies like Daniel and Revelation, to know with all certainty what the future holds for Israel. Remember that God's view of history is the history of Israel. God's view of history is the history of Israel. Now let's go to verse 10 in the study of Daniel. It grew up to the host of heaven and caused some of the host and some of the stars to fall to earth, and it trampled them down. This has caused problems for many people and a variety of interpretations of what's going on here. With studying the Bible, please remember the principle, let the Bible interpret itself. The host of heaven and the stars to fall to earth. To what does this refer? The interpreting angel tells us to what this refers in Daniel 8:24. He will destroy mighty men and the holy temple, which refers to spiritual leaders, believing Jews. Now, we're not going to take the time, but if you want to spend some time tonight or sometime this weekend, Daniel 12:3, Genesis 15:5, Genesis 22:17, Exodus 12:41. Well, I'll put all that together for you. Now let's go to verse 11. It, Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes is the correct way to say his name. It and magnified itself to be equal with the commander of the host, taking the name Epiphanes, God manifest. Now, who is the commander of hosts? We know from verse 10 that the host is a reference to the army of Israel at this time. And who is the commander? Reading ahead in this verse answers the question. His sanctuary, the temple. And it removed the regular sacrifice from him, and the place of his sanctuary was thrown down. The commander of hosts is the Son of God himself, pre-incarnate. Removed the regular sacrifice from him. Refers to the removal of regular sacrifice and feasts of the Jews, which is what's going on today. Now, 169 B.C., Antiochus entered the temple, removed the golden altar and lampstand. It doesn't say remove the Ark of the Covenant, because I don't believe it was there. I personally don't believe the Ark of the Covenant, and you can't show me a verse where it does. The Ark of the Covenant ever was in the temple that Solomon built. It was in David's tent, never the temple, but be that as it may. Then, in 167, 2 years down, he sent decrees to Jerusalem, profaning the Sabbath and feast, defiling the sanctuary and the priest, and setting up shrines to idols, and to sacrifice unclean swine and other unclean animals in the temple. Furthermore, it removed the Mosaic law and changed all the ordinances. Jump through history. 25 December, they offered a sacrifice. They cleaned it up and offered a sacrifice on the altar, a burnt offering. We celebrate Celebration of Lights, Christmas. And the place of his sanctuary was thrown down. The sanctuary was not completely torn down, but since it was so polluted and desecrated that when the Syrian army was driven by Judas Maccabeus, they completely rebuilt the sanctuary and altar and burnt offering. Now, verse 12. And on account of transgression, the host will be given over to the horn, along with regular sacrifice, and it will fling truth to the ground and perform it, and perform its will and prosper. Okay, what's this talking about? Very quickly. Remember the section where we are in the Bible. We're in Daniel. Now, if you understand how the Jews put the Bible together, this is in the section called Wisdom Literature, not History. Daniel is not in the History section. It's in the Wisdom section. All through their history, through the church age, Israel has learned about the sovereignty and the holiness of God. They have learned firsthand about disobedience to God. They're experiencing it right now. Not trusting God. They were in Babylon 70 years for failure of observing the sabbatical year. Remember, in each of the seventh year, they were to spend that seventh year, the full, we call it 12 months of the seventh year, worshiping God. A one-year seminary for the whole nation. Land, animals, everything was to rest that year. I wish we did that today. Then they were graciously brought back to Israel by the Lord after the 70 years of captivity, but they did not worship God as they should. They continued in their idolatry and transgression. They didn't learn. And that is what the phrase, on account of transgression, refers to. On account of transgression, the host, God's chosen people, will be given over to the horn, the viciousness of Antiochus IV, along with regular sacrifice. Antiochus IV took away their sacrifices of feast. And it, the little horn, Antiochus IV, will fling truth to the ground, truth that Israel was supposed to be spreading, and perform its will, do unto the Jews whatever it wished, and prosper. He will become great in this area around the great sea. Verse 13, then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one. This is most probably one angel speaking to another, and said to that particular one who was speaking, how long will the vision about the regular sacrifice apply, while the transgression causes horror, so as to follow both the holy place and the host to be trampled? Daniel heard two angels discussing the length of time this deception, this desecration of the temple would continue. Here we have one angel asking, how long? Caused me to think about our study in Habakkuk, how long and why. All right, let's close with verse 14. He said to me, for 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the holy place will be properly restored. This is the 2,300 days, or just under 7 years. If the temple was destroyed, was restored on 25 BC, 165 BC, by Judas Maccabeus, then 2,300 days earlier would be in September of 171 BC, just some 4 years after Antiochus became king of the Seleucid Empire. It is no surprise that this number of year of desecration of Jerusalem by Antiochus IV is just under 7 years. For the time of the tribulation, 7 years, which will be cut short by Jesus Christ. This is where we'll stop. Next week we'll be back at Ezekiel 28:16. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we look at Israel today, how they're at the mercy of Gentiles, the UN, the US, nations around them, we now understand it. It's time of the Gentiles. They have to be there to be a nation for things that will transpire in the tribulation. Father, we just thank you for your word. It helps us. It gives us a peace knowing that you are in such control. And that you can control, as you control all these things, what peace it gives us about our own lives. That all things can work together for good to those who love you. So it is our purpose to continue to walk in the Holy Spirit and love you. Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen tonight for the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.